Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Join with me in reading those words of 2 Thessalonians 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves us and gives us eternal encouragement and good hope in connection with grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen every good work and word. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. In the body of Christ, we each have unique roles to play as God's Spirit pours out his gifts, the grace gifts. Grace gifts, the word charismata, grace gifts upon us. And by the gift of those gifts gives us identity in the specific body part that we are within the body of Christ, the church, so that having to rely on each other, connected with each other, that we might accomplish God's purpose for extending his kingdom by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that through that gospel people might come to faith. That's the church. So the body of Christ, each one of us gifted. And today I'd like to focus on one of those gifts that comes from God's Spirit, and it's the gift of encouragement. The Greek word for encouragement is paraklesis. And by definition, paraklesis means to call to sort of say, come here, to gather back into the loving embrace of protection, someone who is troubled and stressed, and to bring them back in to the safety of your presence. That's paraklesis. Get used to that word paraklesis, because you're going to hear it dozens of times over the next few minutes. To be gathered in to the loving, protecting presence of Jesus. That's true paraklesis. Jesus used this word to describe the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. When he said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, another comforter, someone who does this paraklesis. I will give you another paraclete to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to bring us comfort and encouragement, as that Spirit draws us back in to the protective presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit, we know, does his work through the means of grace. Every time we hear God's Word, spend time in God's Word, the Spirit comforts us in connection with our baptismal washing into Christ Jesus. The Spirit comforts us this morning, where in a few minutes we get to kneel before the Lord's altar and receive that food of salvation. In all three of those means of grace, we experience the comforting, calming, protecting presence of Jesus as the Spirit is calling us back to that grace that we find in Christ Jesus. That's paraklesis, calling back to. That same Spirit pours that gift of encouragement, that paraklesis, into our hearts so that we can share it with one another. Last 3 weeks before this, we were looking at readings from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Paul had begun that letter with these words: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all paraklesis, who paracletes us in all of our troubles, so that we can paraclete those in any trouble with the paraklesis we ourselves have received from God. You got that? God paracletes us. He draws us to himself in all of our troubles so that we can paraclete one another in whatever troubles we find each other in, so that we can live in this grace of God. I hope this morning that you can identify people who either have, or even better yet, who are paraklesis for your life. Not just somebody who does nice things for you. You know, there's that mercy work we do. You know, if somebody has a difficult day, oh, let me cook them a meal. If somebody has a difficult day, let me take them somewhere and sort of distract them. All of that's good. That's care. But to genuinely be paraklesis, we have to be speaking the grace of God out loud to each other. We have to be drawing each other into that cross of Jesus Christ. And I hope, I pray that every single one of us here this morning has that paraclete in your life. The Spirit works in us, but I hope in personal human relationship, you have that paraclete, that one who's bringing you the paraklesis, the comfort, the encouragement of God's grace into your life. As I think about my life, I can think about certain people who have certainly filled that role. I've mentioned these before in sermon. Do it again, because I thank God for that. I could always count on my dad to be that paraclete for me, especially in his retirement years. What a blessing it was to see my dad sort of unencumbered and unburdened from the 90-hour weeks that he put in while he was a pastor. But in those retirement years, every time I was around Dad, every time that I talked to him on the phone, I think he was just saying, "Got to make sure I share grace with Philip," and he did. Because it was always going to be there. I can point to one of my professors at Concordia College in Ann Arbor, Concordia University now, Greek professor. Nobody liked to take Greek class. It was tough. Relentless. There was never a take your foot off the gas pedal moment in that class. Just constantly pushing for one more thing. And Dr. Heckert would come in and he would be handing the quiz back and everybody had messed up on the quiz. And what would you expect? Some professor to say, "You guys are all a bunch of lazy bums." But that's not what we got from Dr. Heckert. He would always point us to the grace of God and say, "Gentlemen, I know you can do this." Dr. Heckert was the guy who, when I took him for a class called Pauline Epistles, all of Paul's epistles, translating all of them in a semester, another was shoeboxes full of vocabulary cards and just miserable. But it was in the midst of that. It wasn't just about Greek. It was about him showing us in that class the full depth of grace in the letters of Paul. I can point to Dr. Walter Meyer II. His dad was the first Lutheran Hour speaker. I had Walter Meyer II for professor at seminary. First class I had with him, Principles of Biblical Interpretation. Thank God for that all the time, to be consistent in the way we look at God's Word. Had him for a lot of classes where he shared just the depth of what there is to find in New Testament. But you know, I think the thing that found my heart more than anything from Dr. Meyer was just that there was this consistent grace that just oozed out of him. Every time you went to talk to him, he'd always put his hand on your back, and he was always running at about 400 miles an hour. So if you were going to talk to him, you were going to walk where he was walking, and he would push you down the hallway as he was talking with you. But he was always, "Brother, brother, how are you? How's the grace of God in your life today? How are you?" I got a chance to see him this past summer when my mom passed away. Showed up at the funeral home for the visitation. And now his legs don't carry him that 100 miles an hour anymore like they used to. Sitting in a chair. I walk up to him. I kneel down, and that's a miracle of itself. And Dr. Meyer says, "Brother, brother, how are you? How is the grace of God in your life?" Wow. That consistent paraklesis. The drawing back into the presence of God and into His grace. And every single one of us needs paraklesis. We're not okay on our own. We can't do this by ourselves. We have to rely on people that we know consistently will take us back into the presence of the grace of God. Paul knew that as he was writing to the Thessalonians. And as we take a look at 2 Thessalonians this morning, it's just a 3-chapter letter, short one. I encourage you, as I've been doing lately, read the whole letter today. 3 chapters, it can't take that long. Half hour or so at the most. Go ahead and read the whole book today. But Paul knew as he was writing to those Thessalonian Christians that they were distraught. And distraught because of 3 things. 2 of those things were false teachings. 1 of those false teachings was that people were going around the Thessalonians and telling them that Jesus had already come back in his glory and already gone away and that they had missed out. Ugh. Talk about ripping your hope away. If Jesus has been here and gone and I missed out, then what is there to live for? And so Paul was helping them to understand, no, you will definitely know when the Lord comes back, and he won't miss any of you. 2nd false teaching that was swirling around those Thessalonians was, well, if we're looking for Jesus to come back, and if we really belong with Jesus in heaven, then there's no point in doing anything in this life. So just be lazy. Sit around and don't do anything. And Paul helps the Thessalonians to realize that just the opposite is true. If we anticipate being in the very presence of the glory of God in heaven someday, then our hearts will be filled with passionate zeal that drives us forward to reach every single person we possibly could with the message of Christ and of his cross. And then Paul could point to, in this letter to the Thessalonians, about the fact that those Christians were being oppressed and plagued by the presence of the man of lawlessness, as he talks about, the one who operates even among the church with the power of Satan. But in the midst of all of that pressure, Paul could point to the Paraclete, the Spirit of God, the ultimate comforter, the ultimate encourager. And he knew that because of that paraclesis, that those Thessalonian Christians could keep on going and not give up. So the words of our text again. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loves and gives us eternal comfort and good hope and grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. I don't know about you, but I know that I'm in need of a real good dose of paraclesis today. Notice in Paul's words that encouragement, that paraclesis, always comes in connection with grace, never outside of grace. Because grace is our foundation. From first to last, that's what we've been talking about for the last month. We've been talking about grace from first to last, especially as we've been preparing ourselves as a congregation to bring forward our pledges this morning, present them before the Lord and ask him to bless our intentions so that we might support the ministry he's given us to do here in this place. But whether we be talking about trying to step in to those kind of commitments, or whether we be talking about trying to take care of a sick loved one, or whether we be thinking about trying to talk with that friend who just seems to wear us out, or whether we're trying to care for that person upon whom it seems that all the garbage of life just dumps upon them. The paraclesis they need most from us is grace. We get to be the paraclesis of God in each other's lives. What does that paraclesis look like? It means that we intentionally point one another to the cross and to the absolute and perfect forgiveness that Jesus won there for us on that cross. Paraclesis means that we point one another to the resurrection and keep on reminding each other day after day after day, Jesus' resurrection conquered death. We get to be the ones to remind each other day after day of the hope of a returning Savior who will take us to be with him We get to be the ones who remind the struggling friend that God dearly loves them and always will, because that's what God does. That's paraclesis. That kind of encouragement and comfort is important, not just so that we survive this life, not just so that we get to stumble across the finish line someday into heaven and say, "Phew, I made it." For God desires us to thrive in His grace and to live in His strength and to do what He has called us to do boldly and confidently. He has called us to go forth into all nations and make disciples of everybody, baptizing them and teaching them all things. He has called us to be the light of the world and to reflect His light to all the world by the way that we love and take care of each other. And to do that, whatever the task, whether big or tiny, tiny, it all flows from God's grace. God's grace that gives us paraclesis, so that with God's hope, we are established. In the words of our text, we are established for every good work and word. I don't believe for a second that the ministry of St. John is winding down. St. John is a little abnormal in terms of churches in this world, in this country especially. 162 years old, that's a long time. But there's no way that the members of this congregation can say, I think that God has pretty much gotten done everything He's going to do here. In fact, I believe if the eyes of our hearts were opened by God's Spirit, we could see that God is just beginning to do His work in Indianapolis. And the only thing that will bring an end to that mission is when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself comes back from heaven. And God, by His grace, has chosen to include this congregation in His mission. But I'm also convinced that maybe what this congregation needs most of all right now is a big dose of God's graceful paraclesis. And so I appeal to those of you, all of us can give that kind of paraclesis, that encouragement. But if you are one of those who is specifically gifted by God to be that paraclete, I call you to stand up and do the thing that God has called you to do. Be the encourager to lift up the lost and the broken and the hurting and the least of these, so that we as a congregation can make it our aim to draw them back into the arms of the One who calls us to His grace forever. We pray to God that none of us would ever allow ourselves to become a discouragement to each other. We pray for God's Word to have firm root in our hearts. And then we live confident that whatever God has in store for this congregation, probably with all kinds of changes that will just make our minds swirl, that God will accomplish His paraclesis of grace and love. Because that's what God does from beginning to end. And it is in God's paraclesis that we now present our pledges to our God and commit our lives to His service and to the support of His ministry, not because we must, but because by God's grace, He gives us that amazing get to. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.